When we study grammar, we tend to look at the form of things. For example, we might look at the form of the imperative in the case of sentences like shut your books, take out the washing. And if we look at a number of these, we can see that they have an understood subject, the subject is kind of missing, and they have an uninflected verb form. We can make up a grammatical rule for this. That is what grammarians do. But it doesn't tell us how to use these forms. What do we use the imperative for? Well, in an obvious way, we use it for giving commands, but we also saw that you can use it for advertising, in which case you're hardly giving commands. What about the interrogative forms? We have two of them. We have yes-no questions, and we have WH questions, and again, we can make up rules for those, and we have in Cooper and Allen. But it doesn't tell us what to do with these interrogative forms. Canonically, centrally, they're used to ask questions, but sometimes the questioning is rather peculiar. For that, we have to look at the situation in which questions are asked, and grammarians don't do that. That's the task of sociolinguistics. Let me give you a couple of rather strange contexts where questions are asked. You'll be used to these. All of you have been through the process. When a teacher in a classroom asks a class a question, the teacher already knows the answer. You would think that the reason for asking questions is because you don't know the answer. If in a chemistry class a teacher asks you about Boyle's Law and says, what is Boyle's Law and why is it important, the teacher knows the answer. The teacher asks the question in order to try and find out whether you know the answer. So the teacher isn't actually interested in knowing the answer. The teacher is interested in knowing whether you know the answer. Question time in Houses of Parliament is another interesting situation where questions are asked. Here the convention is that backbench MPs are allowed to ask ministers of the Crown relating to matters in their portfolio. So, for example, they might ask, does the minister feel that the expense of having their new overbridge placed in my electorate has been money well spent? The reason for asking the question depends. If the backbench MP is a member of the minister's own party, then this is often called a patsy question. It allows the minister to say, well, of course the money's been very well spent and I'm pleased that the member asked this question since it's something which this government has been waiting to do for some years. If it's a member of the opposition, they're going to ask the same question, but what they want to say is the government's been wasting their money and there are still huge traffic jams. In other words, the reason for asking the question is either to make the minister look good or to make the minister look bad. We can't tell this from the form of the question itself. In other words, we have to make a distinction between the form of the question and the intent of the question. Sometimes the intent of asking a question is to get the answer of the question. In other words, you don't know the answer and you want to know the answer. But there are plenty of other reasons for asking questions. And that's where grammar stops and sociolinguistics starts.